Bhagavad Gita, 3rd chapter, text 30. It's on the board. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya adhyatma chetasa nirashi namaha bhutva yujyasva vigatajvaraha mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya adhyatma chetasa nirashir nirmamo bhutva yujyasva vigatajvaraha mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya adhyatma chetasa nirashir nirmamo bhutva yujyasva vigatajvaraha mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya adhyatma chetasa nirashir nirmamo bhutva yujyasva vigatajvaraha completely. Adhyatma,
adhyatma
with full knowledge of the self. Chetasa
by consciousness.
Nirashi
without desire for profit.
Nirmamaha
without ownership.
Bhutva, Bhutva, so being. Yujyasva, fight. Vigata Jvaraha, without being lethargic. Translation. Therefore, O Arjuna, surrendering all your works unto me, with full knowledge of me, without desires for profit, with no claims to proprietorship, and free from lethargy, fight. So, although Arjuna, his duty was as a Kshatriya, so fighting was his duty. This verse also applies to all of us, even though we may not be Kshatriyas. Fight, Yujyasva, means we should perform our duty. His duty was to stand and fight with this consciousness that he's doing it only because Krishna wants. Actually, Arjuna had already renounced the whole concept of fighting. He had given up the external considerations that I'm a Kshatriya. He gave up the idea that this will be my kingdom. He gave up the idea even of right and wrong. He even renounced that. At least right or wrong according to Kshatriya principles. He was trying to retire from all activities. But Krishna wanted him to perform a certain duty. It so happens that that duty was the same as his varna, his position as a Kshatriya. That may not always be the case. Krishna may sometimes want a devotee to perform some activities which are not in accord with Dharma. At least Dharma as seen in the world. For example, when Krishna played his flute in Vrindavan, the cowherd damsels, they came there at the dead of night even, leaving their husbands and families. This is not according to Dharma or a woman. But it was the higher principle that Krishna was calling. Anyway, in this case, the two are together. And we also have our dharma, the Sanatana Dharma, eternal occupation is Jivar Swarup Hoy Nichara Krishna Das. We're servants of Krishna eternally. That's our occupation. If someone asks us, what do you do for a living? I'm servant of Krishna. How can you be Krishna's servant? He's not here. I thought Krishna was a historical person, personality. Krishna is eternally present. He's living in Goloka Vrindavan, but he's also Goloka Eva Nivasata Kilatma Bhuta. He's also present here. How is he present? He's in every atom. He's in his name. He's in his form. He's in his instructions. So we have Krishna. And he has the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is speaking to us. Just like Like nowadays, it's quite common that some kind of a political leader, he may be somewhere else, maybe even incognito, maybe even his whereabouts are unknown, but he sends some video or some recorded message to his followers, and he says, "This is such and such speaking, and I want to urge you to continue with this war, or whatever. I want you to fight against this opponent. This is my request to you." And so they become very enlivened, inspired, even though the person may not be physically present. So similarly, Krishna is urging us on, as he's urging Arjuna in person, but he's also urging us that we should surrender all our works to him. Now, in other words, we should do everything for him, and for his account. All the proceeds go to Krishna. All he says here, without desires for profit, nirashir, means without thinking, I'll do this for Krishna, but what will I get? What is my share of this? We're partners, so what's my share? No share. You don't get any share. No share? Okay. But at least I'll be the owner of the copyright of my work. No, no copyright. No claims. It's all Krishna's. Why? I have my talent. I have my ability. At least I should be given appreciation for that. No. Why not? Because your ability is all coming from Krishna also. He has empowered you. He has given you the intelligence or the artistic ability. Therefore, it is his credit. So sometimes we find this a little bit difficult. We can understand maybe giving up the profit, but what about the credit? At least I want my name. I remember in the beginning, early days of our movement, the artists, they understood this point very well. When they would paint paintings, they would not even put their name on it. That was really a sign of their this understanding this verse. They would paint the painting, and you know, for an artist to not put their name on a painting, it's quite astounding, because maybe they're not even thinking of the money so much, but at least they want to be recognized that I painted this. And not only that, there was another phenomenon, that there was once a kind of marathon where the artists and the devotees in the book production, they had to produce, Prabhupada had asked them, Prabhupada is our spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he asked them to produce 17 volumes in 2 months. Which is an impossible task. No one does that. Impossible. But they said that to Prabhupada. They said, Prabhupada, this is impossible. And Prabhupada replied, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. So they did it. And the way they did it was they worked around the clock. Day and night. And the artists would be painting, they'd be working on their painting. And they'd work and work until they'd become so tired they'd fall asleep. And while they were asleep, the book trust manager would quietly take the painting and give it to another artist to continue. So the one devotee, the artist, would be sleeping. The other painting, the other artist would be continuing, and he'd fall asleep. And they'd take it to film. So in this way, all the artists were painting on the same paintings. And this is another thing that for artists is very difficult to share combinedly. But they were doing it in the mood of this verse. No proprietorship, no profit, surrendering all works unto me with full knowledge of me. So full knowledge of me means not just out of sentiment, because out of sentiment one may surrender all his works to Mao Zedong or Hitler or Bush or who knows, whoever, but with full knowledge of me. That means to understand that who Krishna really is. Why should I give all my works to Krishna? Because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's no one superior to him. He's the controller of everything. He's the owner of everything. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. He's the supreme lovable object. He is the original person. He's the father of all living entities. He's the dearmost friend. He knows everything. He's all pervasive. These are some of them. We could go on and on. In fact, there's one incarnation of the Lord, Ananta Shesha. He goes on and on. He has a thousand mouths. And he glorifies Krishna with his thousand mouths. Different descriptions about the Lord. And he never repeats himself. And he's been doing this since time immemorial. Or at least for a long time. That gives us some idea how many glories Krishna has. So we cannot have full knowledge of Krishna, but still some knowledge, as much as possible. At least from Bhagavad Gita we should learn, and Srimad Bhagavatam, and some of these are the primary Vedic literatures, Bhakti Shastras. There are different types of scriptures for different types of people. There are scriptures that advise one to engage in fruitive activities. Fruitive activities means work, do pious activities to get good results. Just like planting trees, giving charity, going to holy places. These are pious activities. And they bring good results. Good results means that one gets auspicious things coming. He gets wealth, he gets fame, he gets good health, higher elevation in the next life, freedom from difficulties. So this is, some scriptures recommend this. But the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita don't even recommend that. They recommend that you should rise above all these considerations and just work for Krishna. Perform all your activities for pleasing Krishna. Don't even consider how it will affect you. This is quite a request. Generally, when we go for a job interview, we go there and we say, so how much do I get? What are the benefits? How many days do I get vacation? What are my working conditions? Where will I be working? How much time for lunch? These are the questions we ask. What are my insurance benefits? You know, all these things. But Krishna is requesting, don't ask any of these questions. Don't put any conditions on your service. You just serve without any consideration. So that requires a lot of faith. I have to have a lot of trust and a lot of love to do that. Now, the amazing thing is that when one does this, he becomes free from all miseries. Becomes free from all anxieties. It doesn't seem like logical that it would work. Because in the material world, we're taught you have to look after yourself. Make sure that no one cheats you. Make sure that no one takes advantage of you. Read the fine print. You know what fine print means? In the contract? Make sure you read all the small print. Because if you don't, there may be something in there. But now, the difference is don't read anything. Just surrender to Krishna, whatever he says. Don't ask any questions. Don't put any conditions. This is a great leap of faith. But it is the highest perfection of one's existence if one can do this. Generally, it requires quite a bit of knowledge to do this. We have to know about Krishna, because before we would put our trust in someone, we have to know about them. Now, they asked Prabhupada, one of the devotees asked Prabhupada, if you had the opportunity to speak to the leaders of the United States, what would you say to them? And he said, I would say to them that in your country you say, in God we trust. That's your slogan. So who's God? Do you know who God is? And why should you trust Him? You need to understand that. And since you don't understand, we will explain to you. So, that's a fact. We need to understand who Krishna is and why we should trust Him. We should trust Him because He never does anything harmful to anyone. He's all good. Everything He does is perfect. And it's not only perfect, but it's beneficial for everyone. Sometimes Krishna is in a position where he has to kill demons. Demons come to attack him or attack his family members, and Krishna has to kill them. But even in his killing, it doesn't have any detrimental effects. It's only beneficial, even for those killed. They get liberation. They get mukti, moksha. That is very desirable, even by saintly persons desire to get liberation from suffering. So they get free from suffering in the material world, just by being killed by the Lord. What to speak of those who are serving Him favorably? Those who serve Him favorably, they get more than just liberation from suffering. They get unlimited bliss in the spiritual world as His associate. So, it requires trust, but Krishna has proven Himself for such a long time. Many great personalities in the past have surrendered to Krishna, have followed this path of bhakti, and they've achieved perfection. We never see a devotee of Krishna, he's saying, oh, I was cheated. Krishna cheated me. He took away all my possessions and took away my... No, they never say like that. They're always very pleased with the way Krishna deals with them. Can anyone give an example of any devotee who came? No, even the enemies of Krishna, they also appreciate how Krishna deals with them. He's quite fair. And he's quite generous. Therefore, we should put our complete trust in Krishna. And if we don't put our trust in Krishna, we will be putting our trust in someone else or something else. isn't it? I put my trust in my family, or I put my trust in my nation, my country. It's like people are going to war and sacrificing their lives for their country, thinking my country is asking me to go and fight. This is a good cause. They wouldn't ask me if it wasn't important. And they'll look after, this will be good for me. Or my company, they're shifting me all over. They're sending me off now to this country, that place. This is good. They're taking care of me. So one way or another, we're going to be serving. We have to serve. So now the question is, who to serve? Who's the best master to serve? One devotee, he described Kama, that for so long now I've been serving my material desires, Kama, and lust, and greed, and envy. And although I've been serving them very faithfully for so long, they give me no relief and no satisfaction, no mercy, no tapa, no pushanti. So now I've gotten good intelligence. In other words, by associating with devotees, now I've gotten good intelligence. Common sense has come back to me. And I've decided to engage in the service of Krishna now. So this is the, when one comes to the proper conclusion, I've been serving kamadinam katina katida palita durnidesha. I've been serving bad masters for so long. Now I'm going to give up serving the bad masters and instead I will engage in serving Krishna. Isn't it? Don't you see people serving lust? On all the billboards they try to incite our lusty desires so that we'll serve lust. Go buy this alcohol. Go buy this car. Act on lust. Try to fulfill your desires. And who's satisfied by doing this? The more we try to fulfill our lusty desires or greedy desires, we become dissatisfied. It doesn't make us more happy. It is like the example of the donkey. The master, he puts a stick, ties a stick to the back of the donkey, and there's a carrot in the front of the nose of the donkey. And then he puts a big load on the donkey. So the donkey, he doesn't care about the load, but he wants that carrot. So he walks forward to try to get the carrot. And he keeps walking and walking. And the carrot also stays in front of him. Same distance. But he's not very intelligent. In fact, the donkey is considered one of the most foolish of all animals. Much more foolish than a dog. A dog wouldn't do that. Or a cat. If you hold, you can try it sometime. You can hold up some food for a cat. And the cat will jump up to get it. But if you pull it away, you do it again, the cat may jump two or three times and then lose interest. Oh, this is ridiculous. Cat doesn't waste, all right, I can see, you're not going to give it to me. I'm not going to waste my time. Cat is intelligent. Dog, same thing. Maybe a few more. He goes a few more times. Not as intelligent as the cat. But the donkey, he does every day. Same thing, all day, every day. Same carrot. I'll get it. Never thinks. You know, I've been doing this now for so many years. I never get the carrot. It always seems to stay. This is called mudha. the donkey mentality. And we're like that. We're also working for the carrot. But no matter what we get, it's never satisfying. We always want more, another carrot. So this is not the type of work that will satisfy us. These profits and proprietorship claims, they don't satisfy anyone. Anyway, let's say you have your name. There's a big building with your name on it. And then you pass away. And in your next life, let's say you become... Like there was one Prime Minister of India. One astrologer did his chart. And he found that after he passed away, this Prime Minister of India, he became... There was one man in Sweden who had two dogs, and the Prime Minister became one of those dogs. By astrological calculation, he could see. Sweden, not too far from here. He might still be there. But say he was Prime Minister of a country, very highly respected, but then in the next life, he becomes a dog in Sweden. Well, who knows? Nobody goes to him and says, "Oh, you used to be the Prime Minister. Now, look what happened to you." So, this is a waste of time. You may say, "Well, my children and grandchildren and all the people, they'll appreciate." It's also very temporary, that appreciation. And you won't even know. Even if they appreciate, "Oh, our great-grandfather was so nice." But if you're in the body of a dog or something, you won't even remember that I was the Prime Minister and I left so much money to my great-grandchildren. So this is all illusion. We shouldn't be caught up in these illusions that are being promoted. So someone may say, "But then, do you want me to be selfish? I shouldn't care about anyone else? I should just take care of myself?" No. But it's true, you have to take care of yourself first. If your hands are tied, you cannot untie others' hands. So first untie your hands. Then you can do good for all living entities. Isn't it? It's like, let's say you're on the sea and you see someone drowning. So, if you very enthusiastically jump in the water, but if you don't know how to swim, what is the use? You don't save them, you don't save yourself, you both die. In fact, you may even make it worse for them. At least maybe they know how to swim a little bit. And then if you jump in, then they have to deal with you also, and you both go down very quickly. So better, if you don't know how to swim, don't try to save everyone. But either learn how to swim or throw the rope or assist those who know how to swim something. Then you can help others. So just like this Krishna consciousness movement, it's a great rescue ship going all over, picking up all the stranded souls, drowning. Oh, they're on the last few more seconds before they go under. This movement is throwing out the lifesavers, pulling them in. That's appropriate for all of us. We're all drowning in this material existence. Who can say they're not drowning? Who can say, "No, I'm swimming very nicely. I'm doing well here in the ocean of material existence." Oh, are you? What about cancer? What about heart disease? How are you doing on those accounts? And what about anxieties? Are we swimming freely without anxieties here in this material world? Everyone's full of anxieties. What will happen next? Who will attack me? How will I protect what I've got? How can I remain young? Young looking. Should I get new teeth? Should I keep the ones I have? How can I always improve my appearance, get more money? This is This is the world of duality, where one is always having to protect himself, but there's no protection. Tukalayam ashashatam. This place is a place of misery, and one has to understand this. And surrender to Krishna, you don't have to worry about anything. Krishna takes care of all your necessities. You may say, well, that sounds, this is too good to be true. Sounds like a fairy tale. You just surrender to Krishna and suddenly everything's taken care of? Yes. Wow. How's it possible? Well, Krishna is not an ordinary person. Krishna gives the promise. I'll take care of everything. You don't have to worry about anything. Sarva dharman paritya mam ekam sharanam vraja. Aham tvang sarva pape vyo moksha ishami mahashucha. Just surrender to me. I'll take care of all your necessities. I'll take care of everything. We get some idea, some example of this in a government. The government asks sometimes different members of the nation to come forward. Maybe to come forward, there's some big war effort required. And they say, we promise we'll take care of all your necessities. We take care of your family and everything. That's a crude example. They do take care of all. But of course, it's not the same as Krishna's care, because Krishna's care is far better. So, we encourage everyone to accept Krishna's request to Arjuna, and it's also to us. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. Krishna will take care of all your necessities. Just work for Him. He'll take care of you, your family, your country, all your plans, all your organizations, all the different missions that you're trying to support. Krishna will take care of all of them if you do His work. An example, I'll end on this note, and then if there's any questions you can ask and we'll try to answer. Just like the analogy is given, if one puts water on the root of a tree, then all the branches and the leaves and the flowers and the fruits automatically are nourished. He doesn't have to put water on each leaf. So similarly, by serving Krishna, He's doing the best service for everything and everyone. Okay, thank you. Any questions? Yes?
Well, you mentioned that the Krishna says, I'm the ability of man. How do you understand when people use the ability in a very negative fashion? Say, like terrorists, people who want to inflict evil. Mm-hmm. Say, well, we're doing it in the name of God, and it's coming from God, and it's inspired by God. How do you understand it?
Yes. Kriti. The word is kriti. Kriti means ability or meritorious. Sukriti, duskriti, kritini. So either one is sukrita, sukritini, he performs good activities, or duskritini, he performs bad activities. But still, the ability is coming from God. How we use it, that's our free will, that's our free choice. It's like a very liberal father. He gives money to all of his children. And some of the children, they use the money well. And some of the children, they use it for bad things. But that's their free will. You cannot hold the father responsible. He gives everyone the opportunity. But he also gives good advice how to utilize it. So if we take the advice of Krishna, how to utilize, how to behave, then we're pleasing to Him. And there's no bad results. But some do not. Some use the strength that he gives, the ability, in the wrong way. This is the material world. You have to expect this. This is the prison house. Don't be surprised that when you look around, everyone is a prisoner. Everyone's a criminal. We're all criminals here. You may think, I'm not a criminal. Yes, we're also criminals. We're the ones who didn't want to follow Krishna's instinct. We didn't want to follow the laws, the divine law. We thought, why should I follow these divine laws? So don't be surprised there's terrorism here. This is the material world. This is to give us some impetus to get out of here. When you see terrorism, you should become inclined that I don't want to stay in this material world anymore. This is horrible. Isn't it? When you see disease, that should inspire you. Why should I stay here? Why should I devote my life to trying to make this place great when there's disease, there's terrorism, there's old age, there's death, there's anxiety, stress? Why should I stay here? I work all the time for this place, and look what I get. I should become inspired. Let me go back to the spiritual world where there's no terrorism, no old age, no disease, and no death. Is that all right? Any other questions? Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Bhagavad Gita as it is ki jai.